get to it. This is David Salzer from AngelsWin.com speaking today with former Angels player Adam Riggs. Adam, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Dave. Thanks for having me.
You know, you've had quite a varied career playing all over the major leagues, playing in Japan and other stuff, and now you're a podcaster. Can you tell fans a little bit about what you're up to?
Yeah, you know, I retired from baseball. I played 11 years here in the United States, my last two being with the Angels. Went to Japan for 4 years, retired, and then I started chasing my kids around, and so was busy with them. Now they're getting older, and you know, I just want to get back into the game. Saw that there was an opening for the Angels podcast. I said, well, shoot, let me give it a shot, you know. So I knew nothing about how to do it or how to do a podcast and how to record it, but I'm figuring out on the fly, and, you know, we'll see where it goes from here.
How'd you hook up with your partner, and can you tell fans a little bit about the Believe Network where they can hear you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, at Believe.com, and then you can also hear it at in iTunes and all the places that they have the podcast. So, I got hooked up with Matt Gallant actually through the Believe Network. So when they hired me, they said, "Hey, look, we've got some hosts, and we're going to hook you up with Matt." And so I met Matt over the phone. We had a discussion. He probably know him from Animal Planet. He was on Animal's Funniest Videos, I believe, for like 5 years. So the guy's got a lot of energy. He's fun to do a podcast with, and you know, I think we have some pretty good chemistry.
Let's be honest. What's his baseball knowledge, in your opinion? Is he bringing a lot to the table?
He's got. I tell you what. His knowledge of the of baseball. He's a big fan. We'll put it that way. So basically, he asked me some questions on. Hey, look. You know, this is the way it looks. This is how I feel. Now, what's the reality? So it's good that you know, that's how the chemistry kind of works between us. He still plays baseball. He's 55 years old. He still plays in a men's league, so he's definitely passionate about it. But you know, so when he sees things, he asks me, "Hey, from your view, what do you see?" Because he sees something completely different than me. Just like I would see something different in the entertainment industry, something different than he would see. So it's we have a nice you know, a yin to the yang there, I guess you'd say.
Well, as a fan, I think that's a good format, because you know. That way you can get both the insider and just what we're, you know, the fan type perspective on things. So I think that format would work well.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And you know what? And we've done one podcast, and I'll tell you what, it's a difficult thing. It's something that, you know, you take it for granted when you listen to interviews and you listen to podcasts, and it sounds easy, but when that mic turns on and it's your first time doing it, I'll tell you what, it was pretty difficult thing to do, and I was glad to have Matt there because he picked up the slack when, you know, when I was kind of scrambling around in some places. So, but that's the cool thing about the podcast is, you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously, and we just try to give out pretty good information. What I want to do is peel back or pull back the curtain and say, look, you know, these guys are people, and they go through issues, and they have things that they go through, and they have these funny times, and these are kind of the rituals, and this is kind of what happens behind the scenes. This is kind of what I was thinking when I was playing, just to give a different perspective. I think there's, you know, there's some value in that.
And how often are we shooting to get new podcasts out?
I'm trying to do them. I'm going to try to do them once a week, and I'm going to try to get all the old time Angels and say, hey, look, you know, do a podcast with me. I want the Angels fans to know what you're up to lately, what you've been doing. You know, some of my old teammates. I did a podcast. I know Phil Garner wasn't an Angel, but I did an interview with him yesterday, and it was fantastic. The guy is amazing. And what you run into is you run into some of these old-time ballplayers. They have so much information. They have so many things to share that I don't want that to be lost. You know, I don't want that to just go away. And so we sat down, and I swear, we were going to do it for an hour. We did an hour 45. Now, I'm not going to put that all on one shot. We'll break it up. But, you know, I've got Ron Renicki next week. I'm going to have Mike Socha on there. I'm going to try to get Tim Salmon, who you speak very highly of on your site and in your article. I'm going to try to get him when I get out to Arizona, and maybe a couple more of these guys as I go along. I love interviewing these guys. I love picking their brain and seeing, hey, what's your perspective now that you've retired and you stepped away from the game? Because when you're playing every day, it kind of rolls one day into another. That's why sometimes, you know, like Trout being hurt right now, it's never a good thing when you're hot and you're Mike Trout, but sometimes for me, when I had to step away a couple games and watch it from the bench and see it, you kind of get a different perspective. So I'm interested to see what these guys have been up to. What's their perspective on the baseball? Because it's changed a lot since a lot of these guys have retired. So, you know, I think that would be an interesting thing for us to hear.
Well, I happen to agree fully with you. I think that listening to guys who played and guys from the past, you guys have so much knowledge that it's a crime and a shame to just let it get lost. So that's the one thing I really don't want to have happen. So let's peel some of it back. What was it like for you playing as an Angel?
Well, I'll tell you what. The one thing I noticed, so I had played 9 years prior, and I came up with the Dodgers, went to the Padres, played a little bit with the Tigers, and the Cardinals in the minor league system for like 2 months. And I'll tell you guys a funny story. It wasn't funny on my end, but so I had finished, 2002. I didn't have a very good year. And I bounced around. I went to Mexico, came back. I was almost out of a job. My agent couldn't find me a job. And I kind of talked about this in my last podcast. And I had known Mike Socha for years with the Dodgers. And he had managed me in AAA. He was the bench coach when I was there and when I had a little bit of time in the big leagues. But he was a guy that just, him and Ron Renicki and Mickey Hatcher, those guys were like my second fathers. You know, they took care of me. That's all I knew, you know. And so when I was, my back to the wall, I said, you know, I don't know what to do. So I called up Mike Socha. I said, hey, Mike, I can't get a job. You know, do you have a spot for me over there? And I was just hoping to be on the minor, you know, give me a minor league invite. You know, let me just get my foot in the door and maybe, you know, maybe hang on. Well, this guy, my agent calls the next day and he said, hey, I got great news. You got invited to big league camp with the Angels. So I went from, you know, my career could have been done at that point, right? And so Mike not only invites me to camp, but I go to big league camp and I get a lot of playing time. And that resurrected my career. I ended up spending, you know, parts of the next two seasons with the Angels. I was on the playoff team that I only got one AP, but I was on the playoff team that we lost to Boston in the first round. But we won the division that year. It was an amazing team. But the one thing I noticed about the Angels when I went through the door and we started spring training, the leadership, which was at the time Tim Salmon, GA, Erstad, Eckstein, Wooten, they all got together in the players-only meeting and said, look, guys, this is how we play baseball. We move runners. We go first to third. We're aggressive. We get bunts down. The fundamentals. And this wasn't, you know, and this came down through Socha, but he didn't have to say it. The people that were saying it were the guys in the clubhouse. And that was the biggest shock because I had been to a lot of big leagues. Not a lot, but I've been to big league clubhouses with the Dodgers, big league spring training with the Padres and the Tigers, and that never once happened, never once. And so the amount of accountability and the way these guys approach the game professionally, the way Tim Salmon, when the plane landed the first night we were at every city, took every player that wanted to go out to a steak dinner at the finest steakhouse in the city. That was like a family. It was special. It was a really special team. And that's what I always remember about the Angels. And I love the Angels. I love everything about them. So it resurrected my career.
So we hear a lot about how, or we heard a lot as fans about how Mike Socha would really work to kind of foster that environment and stuff in spring training. Anything from, you know, the special assignments and research for rookies coming in and so forth. What were some of the funny things you may have seen in the clubhouse or clubhouses with Mike Socha?
So the ones I can talk about?
Yeah, what can we talk about? Let's get some good stories.
So we've had a bunch. I mean, we've had a bunch of them where, you know, every single time that we would come in, there would be some sort of question, and you know, whoever was foolish enough to answer that question would most you know, undoubtedly get an assignment where they had to go do something. And so one day, we had a kid named Gary Johnson. He's a first baseman, big dude, 6'4", 220, awesome, awesome guy. So they asked, you know, Joe Maddon sitting there reading in the paper, and he's like, yeah, the confluence of, you know, he was talking about the confluence in Pittsburgh, I forget what the name of that confluence is, and he's like, does anybody know what a confluence is? What is that? And so Gary Johnson's like, oh yeah, that's where two bodies of water or two fields meet or you know, something like that. And he's like, yeah, you're exactly right. And he says, okay, here, the Renaissance Festival's in town, so I'd like you to go ahead, go to the Renaissance Festival, and make a report for us. And he's like, pick a couple of the guys that you want to go. So, of course, he picked me, Rob Quinlan, a couple of the other guys. I forget who else went. And so we grabbed Mike Socha's jersey, and we put it on one of the workers there. And we walked around the whole time, and one of the workers, they assigned one of the workers to us, and Jim Sandlin gave us a bunch of money, so we got to do all these games and stuff, and we would never show the front of the guy with the Socha jersey on, so it always looked like Socha was throwing the tomatoes at the guy, sword swallowing, and then we took the video back, and we gave it to the film editor, and the film editor takes the video, I forget the guy's name, he was a great guy, he took it and edited this film, and it was professional. I mean, it was like, so one morning we all get out, you know, we're all in the meeting, and it's like, we got a special presentation, and it took like 2 weeks to edit this thing. It was like, we had a lot of footage, and they played this video, and at the very end, they have this huge rocking horse. The rocking horse is probably 30 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we're doing an interview with Rob Quinlan, we pan up and we see the guy on top of the rocking horse. He's got the Socha jersey on, and he's rocking on this big rocking horse. And I remember K-Rod falling to the ground, and he was grabbing his stomach because he was cramping up. He was laughing so hard. It was one of the funniest times that we had, but it was always somebody making a video. I remember they showed one of Tim Salmon. You know, he got to fly with the Blue Angels.
Right.
And they showed him flying with the Blue Angels, and, you know, they showed him, and they're playing Top Gun music, and they said, no, that's not what really happened. Then they show him again. He must have thrown out like 10 times. It was so hilarious. So, I mean, that's what kind of spring training was like. He kept it light. He kept it loose. You know, everybody was excited to be there. It wasn't, you know, spring training can be a grind sometimes, but in that atmosphere, it's pretty cool. You're always looking forward to being there and showing up. So, you know, one thing about Socha is, you know, the guy leads by example. The guy, you know, the players care, and I think they act the way they act because they know he cares about them. You know, if someone cares about you personally, not just what you do on the field, but personally cares about you, you'll do anything for the man, you know. So that's what's special about Socha. Socha's not just looking at you as, hey, what can you do for the team? Obviously, that's your job, but it's not a performance based relationship with him. He loves the guy number 25 on the roster as much as he likes the guy number one on the roster.
Well, that's one of the things. Like I got to experience in interviewing Socha and talking to him and stuff, and there was Mike Socha, the man, and there was Mike Socha, the manager that the public saw. You know, there was two sides to Mike Socha. Can you talk a little more about, like, the man you knew as opposed to, like, you know, what the fans would typically see either in pregame or postgame interviews? Because, you know, there was a lot more, and he was quite an interesting and interested individual.
Yeah, Oh, yeah. I mean, OSHA would do anything that he wanted to do, right? Like, you know, I touched on him being the man he was, and I think everybody in that clubhouse knows that. And he's loyal. He's loyal as the day is long, but he's also a fiery competitor. I mean, this guy, when he crosses those lines, I mean, you've seen it. He's had some altercations. He's had some altercations on the field before, and that's just, you know, that's just the competitive nature of him. But I mean, this guy, he's just a special guy. It's one of those guys that I've always kept in touch with, and if any time I saw him, he was always happy to see you. He always, you know, and it didn't matter. It's not what guys would do, what guys could do for him, but it just didn't matter to him. He cared about the bat boy as much as he cared about, you know, the ace on the team. You know, he was definitely a special guy. Here's one example.
All right.
So, I don't know if you remember, in 2004, we are two or three games back of the A's with about 10 to go.
Right.
And we have, you know, 3 games back, we pinch run for Jose Guillen at first base.
Right.
Jose Guillen goes crazy. Throws his helmet, throws his glove, goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of stuff was happening all throughout the year that nobody knows and nobody did. And at the time, Jose was one of our top guys, right?
Right, I remember.
When? Yeah, he was about three. He was probably hitting 500 RBIs, 20-something home runs, 100 RBIs.
Right.
So the next day, I show up at the field and I'm stretching like I normally do, and they walk up to me and they say, "Hey, man, you're hitting in group number two," and I'm like, "Group number two." Like, I usually hit in group number four, where all the reserves hit, you know,
right.
It goes through the lineup, 1 through 3, 3 through 6, 6 through 9, or however that works. I'm like, what the heck? After batting practice, I come in, I'm like, what's going on? Well, he had kicked Jose Guillen off the team. Do you remember that?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember it very well, and so do many Angels fans. You know, that whole incident. Can you tell us more about it?
Can you imagine your job as a manager? If you basically release a guy and tell him to go home, that is probably your top two or three hitters on that team.
Yeah, right behind Vlad.
And you're 2 games back? That's absolutely insane. But that just shows you what a man of principle he is. He was like, look, this is the right thing to do. I'm going to do this. And so, you know, he releases him and he puts me in the game.
Right.
You know, and I'm starting left field for Jose Guillen. I mean, at the time, I'm probably batting 200.
And what are you thinking?
But that game, I doubled off the wall, off the right center field wall, and I drove in Eckstein. I went, I think I was 3 for 3 or 2 for 2 that game. Then they pulled me for the defense replacement, which I didn't feel bad about. And at that point, we won the game. And I'll tell you what, we got on the bus and we went and we were a team. It was a different team. I've never seen a bunch of guys pull together like these guys did. It was amazing. We came back, we went into Oakland, believe we were tied or down. I think we were tied. We won the first, and we had to win two.
Right, so something
first,
like that.
We won the first 2 games, and we rolled in there, won the first 2 games, and it was amazing. It was like 10 straight games of something amazing happened. It was just like, I've never seen a team like gel and just rise above and pull for the greater good. And it was just, nobody cared about themselves. It was beautiful. It was just beautiful to be a part of, you know. And so that's almost a death wish. I was watching that night, I was watching Curb Your, what was it?
Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No, that was, what's the one with Tony Kornheiser and the other guy? That's Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I think it is.
Pardon the interruption. So the one guy's like, today, my associate kicked Jose Guillen off the team, and he replaced him with, and you know how they always shoot the camera to the other guy's face real close, and he goes, Adam Riggs? And they're like, this is death for him. How could he do it? You know, they were just blasting him. You know, the the media was just blasting him. But guess what? That team pulled together and we won the division.
So when I first found out I got to interview you, the first thing that came to my mind, I got to tell you, mm-hmm. Angies, the uniform.
Yeah.
Tell us about that story, please.
So this is funny. The year I retired until now, about once a year, we have a little a jersey malfunction.
Right.
And every time ESPN will put up a top 10 jersey malfunction, and somehow I'm on that list. That's like my claim to fame, man. It's like, that's what I'm kind of known for is my jersey.
For fans who don't know.
Here's something about that.
All right.
So I show up, and that's a Sunday jersey.
Right.
The Sunday jerseys were sleeveless. I don't know if they still are. And so we used to have them hanging up on our locker, but with the number facing out. And so I take batting practice like any other day. Go in. I'm getting ready for the game. Last thing I do is I put my jersey on. I go out to the field. And I go and I warm up. Play the first inning. I'm in left field. Everything's normal. We get the third out. I come jogging into the dugout. And as I get close to the dugout, I'm like, minute, is everybody staring at me right now? Because this is really weird. Because you never, nobody looks at you, in your dugout. You know, everybody's worried about themselves, right? The whole dugout is sitting there staring at me as I'm jogging in. I'm like, oh, no. Like, what? I can't even tell you what's going on. It's so weird. I keep jogging in. As I'm jogging in, everybody's looking at me. And GA is DHing that day. And he says, man, come here. And I go and I sit down next to him. And he goes, look at your jersey. I look at it, and I see it says Angies, and I went, oh, Socia. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, Socia. And I went up to him, and I said, get at me. I was like, I cannot believe you just did this to me. He's like, what are you talking about? I didn't do that to you. And he always says that, right? He's always giving you that. What are you talking about? And he's got that little smile.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Socia, I know you did this to me. And he's like, man, I'm telling you, I did not do this to you. So I ended up playing the whole game with that jersey on. So GA saw it because he was in the clubhouse, and I guess the cameraman saw it, zeroing in on it. But I played the whole game with that jersey, and I tell you what, most of the time when you play a game in the major leagues, it's this constant hum. You don't hear individuals speaking. But that whole game, it was like, man, look at me, turn around, let me take a picture. Like, it was bothering me the whole game. It was quite an experience, though.
I was at that game. I definitely remember that. I remember CD come out with that, and I'm like, what in the heck is with his uniform?
I know. It's crazy. It was pretty cool. It's a fun story now because, even I went back to spring training to visit the guys a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you a name tag to go on the field and all that.
Right.
And the lady that, I forget her name, but I looked down later on at my name tag as I left. I was taking it off and I took a look at it, and it says team, and it says game team. Years later.
You're never gonna live that one down.
No, and I don't want to. I love it. I think it's just part of the story, man. It's pretty cool.
So let's do a little bit of a lightning round. Let's get some quick questions, quick answers. Favorite ballpark to play in. Worst ballpark favorite place to hit. Best clubhouse.
Ooh. I just love Dodger Stadium.
Funniest guy on the team you ever played with?
Dane Halter with the Angels.
Worst part about traveling between cities? Or the toughest part?
The bus.
Best place to eat on the road?
Any steakhouse that Tim Salmon is paying for.
Best, your favorite position to play, because you played a variety. Let's go, favorite movie.
Oh, jeez, that's tough. Probably Forrest Gump.
If you could have a walk-up song today, what's it going to be?
I can only imagine.
Who's going to win the throne in Game of Thrones?
Who's going to win what?
Are you a fan of Game of Thrones?
I've never seen it.
Oh, my goodness.
Like I'm the only one in America that's never seen it. I'm pretty embarrassed about that right now.
Yeah, you gotta stream that. You gotta catch up. You don't know what you're missing there. Let's see. Favorite teammate that you stayed in touch with?
Paul Konecko.
guy you wish you had stayed more in touch with?
Matt Hergis.
Dodger dog, Angel dog?
Angel dog.
Best food in any of the stadiums?
Oh, right now I go see the Stros a lot. They've got some pretty good food.
Who's the one guy you would say is absolutely worth the price of admission?
Mike Trout.
Who would you say is, what do you think? Over 500? Exactly 500 or below 500 for the Angels? What's your prediction?
Over 500.
What about of the rookies? Have you had a chance to look at them? Have you seen like Joe Adell and stuff like that?
No, I haven't. You know what? I haven't got to see them play much. I wish I had. I haven't got to see many of them, no.
All right.
I heard he's lights out.
Speaking of Mike Trout, over 40 home runs, under 40 home runs? You'll take the over. Over 300 or under?
Over.
Is there anything Mike Trout can't do?
Mike Trout? No. No, absolutely not. He's a man.
If you could hit right now on any team on any lineup, where are you batting and what team do you think you could help the most?
Oh, I'd go back and play for the Angels and I'd try to bat ninth.
All right. Well, you know, I really enjoyed this, and I hope we can do this again because I really enjoy the stories, and I know fans love hearing from former players and getting that inside story and scoop. So I'd love to invite you back. Love to do this again. Does that work
anytime,
for you?
Anytime, Dave. Anytime. Yeah, I would love to. I love talking about the Angels. I love talking about baseball in general. So.
Well, I think if this is just a snippet of what we're going to get on your podcast, I think fans are going to have to keep tuning in, checking back weekly to see, listen for your updates, because check out the Believe Network, because I love this kind of story, these kinds of stories and insight, and let's continue it.
All right. Thanks, Dave. I really enjoyed the time. Appreciate it.
Likewise.